I need to go ahead and give you a heads up that things are going to get a little bit personal this morning, okay? They're going to get personal for me, maybe a little bit, but even more so, this is why you need a heads up. Things are going to get personal for you this morning, okay? I'm going to push you to do some reflecting this morning. I'm going to push you to do some reflecting during the teaching, and I'm going to push you to do some reflecting afterwards. I'm going to give some examples, but you're going to have to fill in the blank because I don't know exactly what needs to go in the blank for you. And at the end of this, I'm going to give you some homework. You see, I'm channeling my inner homeschool teacher because it looks like I'm going to be doing that for a little bit longer, okay? I channel my inner homeschool teacher, and I've got some homework for you this morning. And all of this is really around one kind of theme here. I know this is true for me, and I cannot be the only one that's a part of this morning. This is true for. I have a deep desire to do well with the things that have been entrusted to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, the things that I've been given, I have a deep desire to do well with those things, to do well with my job, to do well with my family, life in general, to look back. I have a deep desire to do well, but I also at times have anxiety around not knowing exactly how well I'm doing. I mean, you don't get a report card for the things that are most important in life. You don't get a performance appraisal every year or every quarter for many of the things that are most important in our lives. And at times, I just have to sit there and think, how good of a job am I really doing with the things that are most important? So this morning, like I said, there's going to be a lot of reflection. I'm going to give you some homework. But it really all centers around this. How do we know if we're doing well? How do we know if we're doing a good job? And here's what my hope is. My hope is that this morning that we're going to raise our clarity around what the scoreboard is, okay? Raise our clarity around what the scorecard is. And at the same time, lower our anxiety about how we're doing. Now, fair warning, this will ultimately lower your anxiety, but in the short term, you might see a little bit of a spike. But in the long term, raise our anxiety on what's the scoreboard. Raise our awareness of what's the scoreboard. And lower our anxiety around whether we're doing a good job or not. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive in. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for everything that we've experienced in this service so far this morning. And thank you that we now have the chance to turn and to spend some time in the scripture. I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us. Lord, you know that I've prepared some words, but I pray that in this moment that you bring them to life. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they'll be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So at one point, Jesus tells a story. He does this a lot. It's a parable. It's a story that we know has a deeper meaning. It's a short, pithy, easy-to-remember story that helps us to connect with a deeper truth. And near the end of this particular story, this parable, he has a master say to one of the servants this simple line, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And ever since Jesus told that story, followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, Christians have said, yeah, if I could hear anything at the end, like when I look back at my life, if I could hear anything, I think maybe it would be that sentence. If I could hear anything from God about how life went, it'd probably be that. Well done, good and faithful servant. And like I said, I cannot be the only one who wants to do well with the things that I've been given, but sometimes sits back and wonders, how good of a job am I really doing? I mean, am I doing good? Am I doing enough? Am I doing good enough here? I just think about some of the big things in life. I want to know, am I ultimately doing well with my job? And I don't mean as far as like what the church thinks and even what Paul Rasmussen thinks. I mean like from God's perspective, am I doing a good job here? Am I doing a good job with my family, with my kids, and with my wife? Am I doing a good job with the things that are most important? Or even just think about the last 4 months. 4 months ago, in March of 2020, I told a lot of people that I was about to be in the best shape of my life. I mean, I told a lot of people. I have no more excuses. No more excuses. I cannot run in the middle of the day. I can do push-ups whenever I want to. I told a lot of people that I was going to be in the best shape of my life by the time this was all over. And here I am, and I didn't get the COVID-19, but I got the COVID 5 or 10, okay? And this robe is pretty good to me today, okay? I told a lot of people. I remember specifically 2 weeks into this, talking to a buddy of mine who's also a pastor, saying, this is the time when we need to study up. We need to be reading more than we've ever been reading, studying books of the Bible we haven't studied before, getting ready. I don't know how this is possible with the way the world is structured. I don't know. But I'm reading less than I was before. I mean, I just look at all of these things. And I think, am I really doing well with this time? I mean, we're having a good time as a family, but we haven't rented an RV. And according to Instagram, everybody else on the planet is driving around Wyoming in an RV right now, right? How well am I actually doing? I want to know whether I'm doing a good job or not. What's the scoreboard? Well, back to that one little verse that I read earlier. Jesus puts in the words of this master this simple phrase, well done, good and what? Servant? See, if I'm honest, I fill in that blank with all kinds of words. Well done, good, and the way that I live my life, one would think that Jesus said, well done, good and successful servant. I mean, the amount of time that I spend thinking about and working towards being successful in the world's eyes, one would think that that would be what was motivating me. Well done, good and successful servant. Or, well done, good and likable servant. I mean, how concerned I am that other people like me, one would think that that is what I will ultimately be judged on, is whether or not a lot of people like me or not. Well done, good and likable servant. Or well done, good and well-known servant. The more people know me and know about me and all of these things, that increases the likelihood that I will have done well. I mean, I fill in that blank with all kinds of things, and maybe this is the first place for you to stop and reflect. What do you fill in that blank with? What do you think life is really about? What do you think determines whether or not you've done a good job in this life, or a good job with your family, or a good job with your job? Well done, good, and what? Servant. Of course, what Jesus says is, well done, good, and faithful servant. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that to do well, it means that we're good and that we're faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? It seems like for Jesus, that's the scorecard. I mean, it seems like for Jesus, that's the scoreboard. It's faithfulness. But what does that mean? The Greek word underneath that, it's the Greek word pistos, which comes from the verb pistuo. Pistuo means to have faith. It also means to trust or to believe. So what does it mean to be someone who is pistos, someone who is faithful? Well, it means to be someone who is trustworthy. It means to be someone who is believable. This is the way that I think about it. It means to be someone who has been entrusted with certain things, and who acts in a trustworthy manner towards those things. And to be someone who is faithful is someone who has been given things, entrusted with them, and who acts in a trustworthy manner with those things. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here's just kind of the bottom line. Maybe this is kind of the bottom line for the whole deal. What does it mean to be faithful? Well, to be faithful is to use what God has given us for His glory and for the good of other people. I mean, look, Jesus says it all comes down to two things. What does it all come down to? It all comes down to two things. It all comes down to loving God and loving other people. To be faithful means to take the things that God has entrusted to us and not to use them for our own good. Not to take the things that we have and say, how can we bless ourselves with this? But to take the things that we have been entrusted with and say, how can I use these to love God and to love other people? How can I use these things for God's glory and for the good of others? So here's another place of reflection. Okay, just reflect on these three things with me for just a minute. What have you been given? Why have you been given it? And are you being faithful with those things? Okay, we're going to get more specific. And we're going to come back to those questions, but we're going to get a little bit more specific. One of the things that all of us have been given is a platform. One of the things all of us have been given is a platform. What's a platform? Well, the platform is the stage upon which you stand, from which other people can see you and hear you. All of us have platforms that we have been given in this world. The place in your family is a platform. Other people in your family hear you. Your job is a platform. Our singers, their voices, that's a platform that they have. What are the platforms that you have in your life? All of us have been given platforms. And all of us have been given platforms for a purpose. And all of us have the choice of whether we use those platforms that we have been given for the purpose that we've been given them or for some other purpose. What are your platforms? What's the purpose for which you've been given them? And are you using them for that purpose or for some other? Let's get some examples. So here's an example out of the Old Testament. You got a guy named Solomon, okay? One of the great kings of Israel. The wisest person to have ever lived, according to the scripture. And one of the wealthiest people to have ever lived, okay? His wealth and his wisdom is not exceeded by anyone in his day. Well, what are his platforms? Well, those are his platforms. He's given wealth and he's given wisdom. And because he has wealth and he has wisdom, guess what? People come to see him. They want to hear his wisdom and they want to witness, they want to see his wealth. And when they come to Israel, to Jerusalem, and they see his wisdom and they see his wealth, do you know what he does? He uses that platform for most of his life. He gets off track at the end of his life. For most of his life to point people beyond himself and towards the glory of God. And for most of his life, he uses his wisdom and he uses his wealth to bless other people. He's got his platform of wealth and wisdom, and he uses it to point to God and to bless other people. His platform, wealth and wisdom. And a lot of you are saying, sign me up for that platform, right? I'll take that platform, wealth and wisdom. I'll trade my platform in for that one. But you got other people that are examples in the scripture that have different platforms. We just read through Acts together. You get to the end of Acts and you've got Paul. And Paul has the opportunity to speak in front of two of the most powerful people in his area, a guy named Festus and a guy named Agrippa. One is the Roman governor and the other is the Jewish king. And he has the opportunity to speak at the same time in front of the two most powerful people in his area. You know what gave him that opportunity? You know what his platform was? It wasn't his wealth. And it wasn't his wisdom. It wasn't his intellect, which he had volumes of. It wasn't the mistakes that he had made in the past. And it wasn't the good things that he had done more recently. You know what his platform was? His platform was that he was a prisoner who was on trial before those two. That was his platform. How did Paul get in front of the two most powerful people in his area? He got drug in there. In chains. You think that he wanted that platform? I think he'd probably rather have the wealth and the wisdom, but it's the platform that he had, so it's the platform that he used. Several years ago, I taught a summer Bible study in a maximum security prison, and I met a young man there, and he had made some terrible mistakes in his life, and he was going to be in jail, in prison, for a very, very long time. But he had gotten his life together, he'd come to know Jesus, and lots of things had changed in his life. And you know what he was doing? He was going to seminary 100% online and getting the same degree that I and all of our other pastors have. He was getting his Master's of Divinity degree. And you know what else he was doing? He was teaching Bible studies in his prison cell. I mean, once a week he'd come to the little Bible study that I led. But come on, that was like small in his life. just a little part of his week. He was going back to his room and leading Bible studies, I think daily, in his prison cell. You think he wanted that as a platform? Nope. But what platform was he given? He was given the opportunity to minister to prisoners because he was one, and to speak truth into their lives about the Jesus that had saved him and that he knew could save them also. My grandfather had more influence on me than just about anybody in my life. His platform, among other things, is he was diagnosed at an early age with multiple sclerosis. And the way that I, my cousins, my parents and my aunts and uncles, the way the other people in his small town, the way that we witnessed how he managed the last couple of decades of his life through that time of trial, through that time of struggle, it became a platform that put on display the strength that can only come from God. Look, he would have much rather had Solomon's platform, but that's the platform that he got. So that's the platform that he used. So let me just ask you again, and this is your homework. What platform have you been entrusted with? What has God given you? Maybe it's something that you're glad you have, like your family, or like your job, or like a position of influence. Or maybe it's something that you wish that you didn't have, like an illness, or like something that somebody did to you, or like a mistake that you made. What's the platform that you have? You can get more specific. During this liminal state that we're in between the old normal and the new normal, in this time of COVID, what's the platform that you have right now? You can get real specific. What's the platform that you have that you've been given? Number two, why do you think you've been given it? And why do you think you have this in your life? If it's a blessing, why is it that God is entrusting this blessing to you? If it's something that feels like a curse, why is it that God is allowing this to happen in your life? What platform do you find yourself on, and why do you think you might be there? And then third, are you being faithful with that platform? And again, don't overcomplicate this. I mean, don't raise your anxiety and think of all of these grand, big things that you got to do with that. No. Get really, really simple with this. Are you using that platform to love God and to love other people? Are you using that platform to point towards the glory of God and for the good of others? Or are you using that platform for yourself? It's really not all that complicated. This is where I think that if we get our hearts and our minds wrapped around this, it can lower our anxiety. What does God want from us? What is it that Jesus is looking towards when he says that you're doing a good job, that it's well done? It's that faithfulness. It's being trustworthy with what we've been given. That's the scorecard. That's what it is. Are you being faithful with what God has entrusted to you? And here's where it hits home with me. And I'm going to wrap up with this. Here's where it hits home for me. I have a pretty clear picture of what I'd like the end to look like for me. Now, I don't know that I'm going to get that, but I have a pretty clear picture of what I'd like for it to look like. I'd like to be old. I'd like to be laying in a bed with my wife standing over me. Here's one thing I definitely know. I want to go before she does. I got that down. And I want her to look at me and I want her to say something. Amy, baby, I hope you're taking notes. I want her to say something. She can tell me that she loves me. That's great, but I already know that. And she can tell me that she knows that I love her, and that's great, but I know that. You know what I want to hear from my wife at the end? I want her to say, well done. I want to say, God entrusted my heart to you, and you did a good job with it. I want my kids in there. And the Lord knows I want all my kids in there. But if they're not all in there, I know that the ones that aren't, I'm going to want to hear the same thing from them when I get into heaven with them. Here's what I want to hear from them. I want to hear, well done. God entrusted my upbringing, and God entrusted so much of me to you. And you did a good job with that. I want to hear when I retire from people that were a part of churches that I was a part of. Like, you weren't a perfect pastor. But God entrusted my spiritual, like, nourishment to you, and you did a good job with it. Well done. That's what I want to hear. I mean, come on, friends. Just frame this up in your mind real quick. I mean, compared to that, what's the number in the portfolio? I mean, come on. I mean, compared to that, what are the bullet points on the resume? I mean, come on. I mean, that stuff, like, it matters, but it's so fleeting. It's so fleeting. I mean, Jesus does us such a favor when he tells this parable, and he helps us to see that what it ultimately comes down to is whether we've been faithful with what we've been given. Because I want to transition over to the other side. Even more important than the other ones, what I hope to hear is from the Father. Look, you weren't perfect. I mean, not perfect today. Like, not perfect any day. That's what Jesus came to forgive you for. You're forgiven of all of that. That's what ultimately has come down to. You're forgiven of that. And Matt, by and large, you did a pretty good job with the stuff that I gave you. I mean, friends, come on. Come on, come on. I mean, in this time, when we're between the old normal and whatever the new normal is, and we're trying to figure out what in the world does it look like to do a good job, how is it that we can be people that are doing well? Come on. Let's get our eyes back on the real scorecard. The real scorecard. And it's just that. Are you being faithful with what you've been given? And it just comes down to, are you using what you've been given for you? Or are you using what you've been given to point beyond you to the glory of God and beyond you for the good of other people? I mean, I think that's what we all want. I think that's what we all want. And we have a unique opportunity in our lifetimes during this time of disruption and transition to get our eyes back on what's most important, to get our eyes on Jesus and his grace in our lives and his call in our lives to be men and women who love God and love other people. So that's the homework. Those three questions. And if we ask and answer those three questions, I think that God's going to honor that. Because just by asking and answering those three questions, that's a way that we can be faithful. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to conclude our service with one final song. And during that song, I hope that it will be a time of reflection for you, asking, how is God leading me to be faithful? Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will continue to be with us as we seek to discern how it is that you're leading us to be men and women, teenagers and children that are faithful with what you've given us. You have given us so much. And we simply, Lord, we simply want to be faithful with what you've given. So Lord, show us what that looks like. We've talked in some generalities, but more specifically, Lord, show us what it looks like for us to be faithful. And we just want to tell you that we're willing to follow after you. God, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.